Okay, this is April 11th, 2016, and the topic tonight is, Are You Right?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, I'm sorry I missed you last week, but I'm back and feeling wonderful, so we won't have any of those mishaps again. Also, I'm delighted to see so many gods and goddesses in one room. I hope that is finally sinking into your consciousness and you realize that you are one with this thing that we call God, however you want to call God if you want. I don't know what people think of God. I see God completely different. I know God is not a human being or a superhuman being. And I also realize that God is never looking down, scolding. And that seems to be the theme of every church, that God's looking at you and scolding you. You know, he's sitting on your bedpost. He's doing this, that, and the other thing. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And the reason I want to talk tonight is, are you right? And the rest of it is, are you right with God? Are you right with God? I got that when I was being sequestered in my home there, and I turned on those evangelists that are on. Just dreadful. Just dreadful with the things they say. Are you right with God? And if you're not right with God, they're going to show you how to get right with God. I'm here to tell you you're already right with God. God is not worried about you in the least. If you're worried, you're worried about yourself. God's not worried about any of that stuff, nor is God judging you or saying that you're not right. This thing of always turning on the television with these evangelists that want you to think there's something wrong with you all the time, or think that you're always approaching sin or in sin and all this stuff, they take all the joy out of living. And I do not think that that is what religion is all about. You know, religion should teach us to, hey, look who's here. Religion should teach us to enjoy life, to enjoy ourselves, to love ourselves, and to know that we're all right, that we're all right with God. But for some, and this was a woman on a very squeaky woman, in fact. She's on all the time. I don't know what her name is. Squeaky talking. And her topic was, are you right with God? And then I don't watch the rest of it. I just get a little bit of it, and then I go on to something else. Because I don't want to hear why people are not right with God. You cannot be not right with God. That's an impossibility. So why they come up with this stuff? And they sell it, because whoever she is, I don't know the church. But when you look around the church, she's got thousands of people in that church, all believing that they're not right with God. Now, what a way to go through life, to think that you're not right with God, or to think that God is against you in any way, shape, or form. God is never against you. This universe is never against you. This universe wants you to succeed in everything that you do. So when we think that we're not doing right, it's in our mind. It's not in the mind of God. God, as I said so many times, and I'll say it again, is love. And that each and every one of us is the beloved in whom this thing we call God is well pleased. And here again, what is your concept of God? I don't know what your concept is. It doesn't matter if you call it a life force, an energy, whatever you want to call it. That's what you make God. But God is not sitting in heaven someplace. That dates back to the idea that the gods all lived on Mount Olympus. God does not live anywhere. God lives through you and is always with you. But there's no home. God does not have a home, people. Isn't that awful? God is homeless. There you have it. But God being homeless, God then can be everywhere at once. Never stuck in heaven waiting to jump down here and tell human beings how to run their lives. We should know how to run our lives. That's his whole idea of growing up spiritually or just growing up emotionally. We have to be able now to control our thinking and to control our life with the thinking that we're doing. If we think that we're not right with God, how do you think you're going to make the right choices and so forth? You see? You can't. You have to say to yourself, I'm right with God, I'm right with the universe, I'm right with this whole thing, I'm one with it. I'm a part of it. And then become a part of the universe. Know that the universe, or this thing called God, always is there. All we have to do is ask, and we shall receive. But people don't know that. And they're certainly not going to. Most people are afraid to ask God because they think, I'm not right with God. God's not going to answer me because I'm not right. There's something wrong with me. Why does everyone think there's something wrong with them? Where did we get this concept that there's something wrong with us? I don't know when it started. If before psychology, did people think that they weren't right? Or did they just go on? After psychology and psychiatry and all that, then we started to pinpoint that there's something wrong with us.
We were talking about that yesterday. Exactly.
No. You can't. You have to know that you're 100% perfect. 100% perfect. Last week, when I was off balance and not feeling quite well, I never said, well, must be because I'm not right with God. I immediately affirmed I am right with God. This is an event in my life. I'm not going to attach myself to this event. I'm going to watch the event unfold and go to the next one. Go to the next event. I never latch on to anything. I think that's me. You know that I'm going to have that for the rest of my life. That's why when a doctor says to me, well, that's chronic, I say to him, please, don't tell me something's chronic. I can't stand that. Nothing is chronic, you see, because we're whole, we're complete, and we're perfect just the way we are. And yes, things come into our life. And everything that comes into our life to go out of our life. And why do these things happen? I never beat myself up. I didn't beat myself up and say, why are you sick, Dallas, and you're a metaphysician, and you shouldn't get sick, and this and that and everything. I said, this is it, and I'm going to get over it. I'm going to heal myself. And here I am, back again. But to make yourself for the world and these religions to constantly tell you that you have to get right with God, that the human beings are not right, that there's something basically wrong with all of us, you know. That was that old thing that we're born in sin. Remember, how can we be born in sin, a little baby and so forth? And people buy that. They buy that argument. That's why you have baptism, to get rid of that sin, that you were born with a beautiful, pure little baby. Certainly cannot know sin. And I don't think any of us really have to know sin at all. Remember, sin is an archery term, meaning to miss the mark. That's all sin is. It's an archery term. And yes, sometimes we miss the mark. But what do? We try over again till we hit the mark. You don't give up. You just say, oh, well, I'll try again. I'll try again. I remember years ago, 40 maybe years ago, when I was in the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, the minister there, Kennedy Schultz, said, whatever you're doing, you just have to keep on trucking. You just have to keep on going. And if you keep on going, things are going to turn out right for you. Right for you. But they're not going to turn out right if you think you're not right with God, or you think that this God is punishing in any way, shape, or form. When I was at home, sequestered there, and not only listening to this woman, I turned on another evangelist, and he said, Wes, and I don't know what the topic was or anything, but he said, well, you must remember God only killed one son.
God only killed one son?
It's like, what?
Yeah. I turned that off immediately after that. I thought, where can you go with a statement like that? God only killed one son. God did not kill Jesus, people. And people keep thinking that we're, ordained that Christ would die on the cross and so forth. Jesus died on the cross because he couldn't keep his mouth shut. Is exactly why he was crucified. He upset all those people by just telling him this, that, and the other thing. And, of course, he upset Herod because he said, I'm the king of the Jews. Well, Herod didn't want another king around, so they had to get rid of him. And there's nothing, that doesn't mean that Jesus didn't exist. I'm sure Jesus existed. But not in the way that they want to publicize it all the time, that all this stuff is something, you see. And then the other thing on these channels, they all pray to Jesus. They all pray to Jesus. Because that's an interloper, whatever, but I can't think of the name. And so many religions have that. You cannot go directly to God because you're not right. So you have to go through Jesus, you have to go through Mary, through the saints and all that stuff to get to God, instead of just saying, those people were all nice, but here God is what I want. And talking to God as though God were a friend. That's how you have to approach this. And God, these other things that they say about God's sitting on a throne in heaven. Now, you know perfectly well they got that idea because during that period, everyone, kings and stuff, sat on thrones. You say, who do we know that has a throne today? The Queen of England, but she doesn't even sit on that throne half the time, you know? So, all that stuff that we learned is bad for us. It is very, very bad for us. And we keep the media, the world outside, keeps telling us that if you got right with God, everything would go all right in your life. Start with the premise that you're already right with God, and that God is working in as and through you and changing you right here and right now. Bringing to you everything that you want. Everything that you want. Perhaps by next month, there's a new book coming out by Pam Gout. I don't know if anyone knows her or not. She wrote E Squared and all that. She's writing a book called Thank and Grow Rich. Instead of think and grow rich. Thank. Be thankful and then grow rich. Anyway, the reason why I bring that up, I have, and he's been here, John Mackey. I don't know if anyone remembers him. You know, he's still a client of mine. He is going to buy us the books when they come out. And then he's going to give one to everyone. I'll give one to everyone in the class here. So I thought that was nice of him. He called. He lives in, I think, Cleveland now. He moves around a lot. But he always comes back to me for advice and this, that, and the other thing. And he's very generous, so we have to know. Now, I think John, he grew up a Catholic and an Italian. Catholic, you know, that's a difficult one to get over because that's so ingrained in the Catholics, you know, they're not going to give that up. Pardon?
You used the word before Catholic.
Italian Catholics are, you know, they're dyed in the wool. So it's hard to get out of all those things, but you have to look around and say, all this stuff is going on now. What do I believe? What do I want? Do I know that I'm all right? Does my mind tell me I'm a good person? Or does it tell me there's something wrong with me? And if I change, then everything would be okay. But you can change all you want, but you better change the idea that you're right with God. You have to start with that premise, that this thing called God is for us, that this thing called God wants to heal us, wants to do things for us, and can do those things. But we must move our bloated nothingness out of the way so that we can receive all these wonderful gifts from the universe or from God. And when I use the word universe and God, you know they're the same thing. It's not God and the universe. It's God as the universe, you see. The same way when you look at yourself, you have to know you are God, you see. We are an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. Individualized. So you have to look at it the way you want to look at it. But you know, I told you that story, and I'll tell it again. When I was in ministerial school, the fourth year students had a seminar with a Saturday seminar with a third year class, and the people, I got 12 people at a table, questions to ask them, and as soon as you'd ask them a question, they would say, well, you know, Kennedy says this, this, and this, this. I said, but I'm not concerned what Kennedy says. I want to know what you say. You see, what do you think about this? We can all quote somebody else. You have to quote yourself, you see. Quote yourself and say, I know what's going on here. I can figure this out. I don't need Kennedy Schultz to tell me how to interpret something. That's the other thing the television evangelists do. They're going to interpret the Bible for you. And they're going to interpret every line in the Bible. They get it so mixed up, it's absolutely incredible. Another one I was flicking around the station was going on about, and they do this all the time, Abraham and his son Isaac. Do you remember that story? Mm-hmm. Abraham was going to kill Isaac, his son. And then God stopped that. But they use that constantly in churches, that whole idea. Look how great God was. God substituted a lamb instead of a child. Perhaps God did, perhaps God did not. I don't know. I wasn't there. I was not there. But that brings me to another point in religion and so forth. You hear all the time about the burning bush. Remember the burning bush? And we think one bush, don't we? Only one bush ever was a burning bush. They're all over the Middle East burning bushes. They are loaded with a sap. And when a rock comes down and causes a spark, the tree, the little bush, bursts into flame. There's burning bushes everywhere. But the church likes to say there was only ever one. Did you people know that there are such things as burning bushes? Yes, and they're there today, and you can look it up. Andy can look it up on his telephone. Yeah, it's true. But most people have no idea. They think there was only ever one burning bush. No, there are lots of burning bushes. So, and this thing of God killing his own son. Now, who wants to worship a God that kills his son? Now, isn't that stupid? Would you want to do that? You know? No, we don't want to do that. So they get it all wrong, and I'm sorry. But then they want to tell you to get right with God. But I don't know, since I didn't watch the rest of that program, because that lady drives me nuts. Exactly what they were going to do about this, how to get right with God. How to get right with God is to just make up your mind, I'm all right. God loves me. I am the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. You just have it and make yourself believe that. But the world is very convincing. And most brand name religions are very convincing because they want to dwell on the negative all the time. They want to dwell on all the bad things. I don't want to dwell on any of that stuff. I want everyone to know that they're right with God, that God loves you, and that you could never do anything to offend God. You can offend other people, you can offend yourself, but you cannot offend God. And here again we have too many people saying, do you remember the old television program? Wasn't it Maude who always said God will get you for that? That was her motto. God will get you for that. Anything that they did, they thought God was going to get them for it. God's not out to get anyone. God's out to love everyone. God is out to love everyone, not to get you in any way, shape, or form, or set you up for failure. God doesn't do that. God never pulls your feet out from under you. Never. You're right with God. You are right with God. You have to remember that. You have to feel that inside of you, that this thing that we call God wants you to succeed in every way, shape, and form. And that all the things that come into our life, how do they come into our life? Because we breathe life into them. You know, we are absolutely marvelous machines, you know. Our head is a little factory, always manufacturing a reality of some sort or other. So you have to decide, what reality am I manufacturing here? What reality am I manufacturing here? I often tell people, you know, if you go to the movies nowadays, when I was a child, we had one movie and showed one movie. Now you go and it's a, you know, you see 13 different movies if you want in some. And that's what your life is like, walking into a complex. And you have all those choices. Now, which one am I going to see? Which reality do I want in my life? So pick the one that you want. And if you get into the wrong movie, I got into the wrong movie with this thing called The Hateful Dead. Oh, God. Worst piece of garbage I've ever seen. Nominated for 3 Academy Awards. And what was the other thing? 3 Academy Awards. Oh, it's an epic. Epic. Well, if you call all that bloodshedding epic, I guess it's an epic. But I was with a friend, or I had walked out of that movie. I often walk out of movies. If I don't like them, just because I paid or something, I never let that bother me. I walk right out. And that's what you have to do in situations in your life. You have to walk out of them. You don't have to stay and watch a bad movie.
They give you your money back.
They will? No. I didn't try that, but I'll try that.
I did.
You got it back? Yes, if they're too bad. They're horrible, some of those movies. But what I'm saying is, you're the one in life. If you are living a reality that you do not like, change it. Walk out of it. You see? And, as Rose said, get your money back. You know? But we think we start this stuff, we think we have to stay with it. You don't. You do not have to stay with anything. You are all right with God. God loves you. God will always love you. And there is nothing you can do or say that will change that. I don't care how bad you get or what you think, the act you did, God has already forgiven you. Completely forgiving you for that. And these, we all make mistakes. And we learn from those mistakes. I love the expression of the Bible, go and sin no more. That means go and stop making the mistakes. If you make, you know, and we see so many people, don't we, making the same damn mistake over and over and over, and they can't figure out why. Well, the same thought will always produce the same result. But people think, oh no, I can make it come out different. You cannot do it. It's a mathematical equation. What you put in, you're going to get out. It's just, it's a simple thing, you know, what you're doing. Think of yourselves as farmers, and that every thought you have is a seed, and that you're planting those seeds. Now, you can manufacture all those seeds, and if you don't like the seeds that you're manufacturing, don't plant it, for goodness sakes. Don't plant the seed. But so many people plant the seed, and then it grows into something horrible. No, I don't do that anymore. If I don't like it, I just get rid of it. Get rid of it. So we're all farmers, and we're all throwing seeds out there into the world. What seeds are you planting for yourself? You see, are you planting seeds that you're whole and complete and perfect? That you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? And that you're always right with God? And there's nothing that can come into your life that you cannot become victorious over? Because that is the power that you have to be victorious. And that's what you want in your life, to be victorious. And you can become victorious when you realize that you're right with God, instead of all this stuff that something's wrong with you, God's against you, and you know. No, God is not against you. The universe is not against you. You are here on this plane of action to succeed. To succeed. You're here on this plane of action also to enjoy and to have pleasure. There is no other thing to go on there. To think that you're born to suffer, like my friend Doug the Baptist thinks he's here to suffer, and he's delighted to suffer because somebody told him, some probably tele-evangelist, that the more you suffer, the greater your status is going to be in this so-called heaven. So he will tell me right out, Dallas, I'll have a higher station in heaven than you. And I like to say to him, well, Doug, you know, I'm not going to heaven. Which frightens him to no end. He cannot get over to think that I would not want to go to heaven. You know?
It's so limiting.
Yeah. It's awful. But now he's been a devouted, I don't know what he is now, but he was. I think he's back with the Baptist Church again. He was devoted to that church. But yet he thought that he wasn't okay. He did not know that he was right with God. He still doesn't know that. Because they're so accustomed, people are so accustomed to thinking that they're earthworms. You know, that you're nothing but an earthworm. You are a magnificent expression of God. A magnificent expression of the universe itself. You are loaded with talent. You are loaded with creativity. Use those things. Bring into your life the joy and the happiness and the pleasure. You're saying, you have to know that that is all right. Society and the world itself, you know, is against pleasure. But really, if you really look at it, no one may. Because if you are loaded with pleasure and having fun and so forth, now you're completely out of hand. They can't control you. You're out of hand. And you hear that, you know. When I was a child, they would say, that's enough fun for today. You've had enough for today. And that's what people think. God says, that's enough. You've had a little happiness. That's all you're getting. Now, drudge through life the rest of you. Do not do that to yourself, people. Please do not do that. Know that you are right with God and that God wants to help you in every situation. And then do not be afraid of God and in all and this, that, and the other thing. Sit down and have a conversation with God. And just say, God, here's what I'm doing, here's what I want, here's what I need. You can say that. You say, it doesn't make you needy. Someone, the people get caught up on words and so forth. And in religious science, sometimes I say, well, if you use the word need, then that means you're needy. No, it doesn't mean you're needy. It means I want that. You say, you want. And do it for yourself, you see. Tell yourself, tell God, this is what I'm doing, this is what I want. And then learn to live a wonderful life. A wonderful life. And you'll be able to accomplish that. You'll be able to accomplish that because you are absolutely right with God. And you've never been anything but right with God. People would like to say something else. People would like to tell you differently. But then they're miserable people. Don't be around miserable people. It just doesn't work. At least it doesn't work for me. I don't want to be around miserable people. It's not going to help me being around. I want to be around the uplifting people. People that want to uplift you all the time. So, and I just as soon be by myself as be around people that want to pull you down or tell you how bad the world is and what's going on and all that. I look out and I, if you don't watch a television, if you wouldn't watch the news, which I don't, every once in a while I see a flicker of it, think how much better your life would be. Do you need to know all that stuff that's going on? I don't think so. I don't think you need to know all that stuff. People are so impressed that they know all this stuff. Did you hear this happened and that happened? No, I didn't hear it at all. You know? And I don't want to hear that stuff. You know, when anything here happens in California, I never know it's happening. But somebody in the East, a friend of mine, will call to tell me. And I think it's 3,000 miles away. Why are you bothering to call me? You know, I don't want to hear it. They think they're giving me information that I need. I don't need that information, you know. When the forest fires were going on, I kept getting calls. Well, how close are they to you? You're burning up there. And I am, oh my. I said, no, there's nothing going on here. Thank you very much, you know. They thought it was an inferno, the whole thing. It's all hype, people. All that stuff is hype. And it's nice to do, I guess, but I can't bring myself anymore to listen to the news. And all this other stuff I've given up on, I thought I could, just out of interest. I thought I would try to keep up with these political campaigns. Well, I left that go. That's just a comedy. That's an absolute comedy. And the things that they say make no sense whatsoever. And they're so low class, aren't they? That the ideas are so low class. I think, where have you people been? I don't want you on being president of the United States. You can't even put sentences together. But they think that that's all right. I think the whole world is changing, and that's good. And we have to change with it. But what is the only constant in your life? The only constant in your life is this thing called God. The only constant in your life is knowing that you are right with this thing called God. That's a constant. It doesn't change. God is not going to change. So don't let the outside world influence you in any way, shape, or form. You do not need to listen to that type of information. That type of information, it's no good. Now, one more thing. Please don't ever think that I'm beating up other religions. I am not beating. I'm pointing out things. And if you don't like what I point out, that's all well and good too. You don't have to, remember. You have to make up your own mind. You don't have to believe the different things that I believe. But I don't know how people can be in church 30 and 40 years and keep hearing the same scriptures. Now, the scriptures are not changing, that I realize. But do you want to hear that same story over and over? I'd like to know how to do something. You know, this teaching, metaphysics, teaches you how to think, not what to think. How to think. And I think that's what the main thing of this teaching is. It's teaching us how to think and how to think differently. I think it's very nice. I'm glad that 2,000 years or more ago all that stuff happened. But is any of it relevant to today? Is any of it, you know? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's wonderful stories. And I think it's yes. But I don't want to hear it once, maybe twice at the most. I don't want to hear it for 30 years, just pounding, pounding, pounding. And it's getting them nowhere. You see, if I thought for one moment that these religions were doing anything for people, I would shout from the rooftops. But I don't see it because I look at the people. And now I have a friend. She just now has discovered God. And she's with some church in town here. She's become a deaconess. And I congratulated her, and I call her the church lady. But her conversation has never changed. Her conversation has never changed. She's down on most people. She's the one who will constantly tell you how poor she is. So what did they learn? What did they learn in that church? What is she learning in that church? They were all going there for an hour every Sunday and rejoicing or doing hallelujahs and all that kind of stuff, and they come right out and it hasn't affected them at all. This teaching will affect you and will affect your thinking, and that is always what we're trying to do here, is change your thinking. So that you see things clearly. So that you see things clearly. That's all it's about. And the way to start seeing things clearly is to know that you are right with God. You are right with God. And that God is for you, not against you, in any way, shape, or form. Nor does God send diseases or anything down on mankind. God does not do that. God is God. I'm going to remain that, you see. So you must make up your mind how you want to do it, the way you want to do it, and God will back you up in that. God will always back you up in anything that you're doing. God also backs you up in anything that you're saying. See, God does not say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. I don't think that's going to work. God will back you up. Now you have to think, is it working or isn't it working? That's the, what the, your mind, that's the work you must give your mind to do. Am I thinking correctly here? Am I thinking correctly? That's all this teaching is learning to think correctly. All. And we can all learn to think correctly. I've changed my mind, I don't know how many times. And as I say, I'm absolutely delighted that I changed my mind. And I'm delighted that I found this teaching. As I said before, it saved my life. And it often saves my life nowadays. I don't have any fits of depression or anything that other people seem to suffer with. I don't seem to have that. And I'm delighted that I don't have that. You see? Because why don't I have that stuff? I know I'm right with God. I know I'm right with God. And that just clears up everything. Makes everything so much better when you know that. So keep that in the forefront of your mind, that you're all right and that you're right with this thing called God. The same way you would be right with a best friend. I'm right with a best friend. Don't you have some best friends that they can say anything to you and you can say anything to them and it doesn't change, does it? Your relationship stays the same. That's what this happens with this thing called God. God will not change. You will change. But God will not. So use that in your daily life and see those things happening in life itself. I watch life now in a completely different way because I took the filters off my eyes. I took all those hateful filters off that I was taught. All the prejudice. That's a filter. An absolute filter. And you cannot see correctly when you're looking through filters. So you have to get rid of those filters and realize I can think differently, and that's all it's about. All prejudice is because people aren't thinking correctly. Once you see that everyone is the same, I cannot figure that out, why people think that somebody else, because the skin color is different, that they think there's something different with that. There's nothing different. There's nothing different. And don't you think that maybe this universe put all this diversity up here, all the different skin colors and so forth, to help you realize that you're all the same? We're all the same, regardless, you see. And look how many people, and people still are, into white supremacy, for goodness sakes. Drives me up a wall, that kind of stuff. But I pray for those people. And I forgive those people instantly. That's how I approach those things. It's always the idea of forgiving. We just have to start over again. Forgive them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You're right with God. Remember that. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. I am right with God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.